This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on September 22nd, 2011. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next matter on our agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2011-14, Utah Bankers Association and Utah Bankers Association Action Pack by Kirk Jowers and Matthew Sanderson. Before we ask Council to present, we have a late submitted document.
I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of agenda document numbers 11-57 and 11-58, which is for a matter coming up on the agenda.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 6-0. Mr. Stefano, please proceed when ready.
Thank you, Chair Bowerly. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda Document 11-57 responds to a request for advisory opinion filed on behalf of the Utah Bankers Association and its separate segregated fund, the UBA Action PAC. The Commission considered this matter at the August 4th open meeting and held it over to today's open meeting. Since the August 4th meeting, the Commission has released another draft designated as Draft C and presented before you as Agenda Document 11-57. Draft C is intended to be a compromise draft. The Commission received one comment on this draft. I will be happy to address any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Is there any discussion on this draft? Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will, at the appropriate time, plan to support this compromise draft. I think that there's been an effort to try to find as much common ground as we can on this, but there were disagreements that we had over a couple of different issues, and I just wanted to just explain a little bit about where. Since we don't have as many, we didn't put out competing drafts about what our perfect position would have been, I just wanted to briefly explain how I approached this. Kind of the two main issues that couldn't get resolved. One was dealt with whether the Utah Bankers Association could accept payments from affiliated state bankers associations without those associations being considered connected organizations. That was one of the issues. And somewhat related to that is the extent to which the employees of affiliated state bankers associations could serve on the councils that are part of the special project, what's called Friends of Traditional Banking, that Utah Bankers Association proposed. Could they serve as part of their regular employment responsibilities and without that service being considered a contribution to the PAC? And the other thing that we couldn't reach agreement was with regard to the project's communications and whether or not they could include for identification purposes the job titles of those individuals who were serving on the councils. My position is that I believe that that the Utah Bankers Association could accept such payments and accept the services of employees of affiliated state bankers associations without those being considered contributions or without those resulting in those affiliated entities being considered connected organizations of the Utah Bankers Association PAC. We have prior advisory opinions where the Commission has concluded that members of a trade association could make donations above and beyond what their required annual dues were in order to help defray the administrative and solicitation costs of the trade association's PACs. For the trade association PAC separate segregated fund. And there was nothing in those AOs that indicated that that money can only travel vertically from a member to the trade association PAC and that it couldn't travel horizontally from one member's SSF to another. In fact, there's another advisory opinion, 1995-12, where the Commission specifically permitted affiliated state trade association members of a national trade association to raise funds for the SSF of another state trade association member or for the National Trade Association's SSF. And in addition to not mandating that such assistance can only travel vertically and not horizontally. Nothing also is in these prior advisory opinions that says that providing such a support would result in the organization that is providing the support becoming a connected organization of the recipient SSF. It's important to point out that the SSFs here share a contribution limit, so there's really no concern about circumvention. And so for these reasons, I really didn't think that I thought that clearly under this precedent that this assistance could be provided, both in terms of employee time and in terms of actual financial donations from these affiliated state bakers associations to the Utah Bankers Association for assistance on the project's costs without triggering that these organizations would become connected organizations. Therefore, I didn't think that they would need to amend their statement of organization to indicate that they have new connected organizations or that it would require them to change their name. So that was one area where we had disagreement. The other was, again, the communications that are put out by the project. I think that the facts that are presented in this request are materially distinguishable from a different advisory opinion known as the Reyes advisory opinion, which was advisory opinion 2007-10, which concluded that, at least with respect to a fundraising event that was conducted on behalf of a federal candidate, that the contributors' job titles and corporate employers couldn't be used for purposes of sponsoring the event. I think this is a very different situation. The activities that would be conducted by the councils would be independent of any federal candidate's campaign. The use of the title wouldn't be used to indicate that this person has given a contribution to a candidate. Therefore, it's not that isn't being used to induce a contribution, which I think was the concern in the Reyes advisory opinion. So, as I mentioned, we have been able to find common ground on a lot of issues. We weren't on those two issues, but I just wanted to briefly explain where my position stood. Thank you.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wasn't really planning on going back through it all again since we had this discussion last time. I appreciate my colleague's explanation, and I guess the short answer would be that the AOs that you find pertinent, we find distinguishable, and the AOs that you find distinguishable, we find pertinent. But I also did want to just point out, so that there's not any confusion, the requester submitted a last-minute comment basically saying, don't you really agree on more than what is laid out in Draft C? And the answer to that is no, we don't actually agree on more than what's laid out in Draft C. Because for some of us, whether the affiliated associations is eligible to pay administrative costs or allow its employees to serve on these councils is at issue and would only be permissible if they were deemed connected organizations and if the statement of organization were amended and if the name were changed. So there really isn't any more agreement than is set forth in the draft. We tried to get closer, but it just didn't work. So sorry about that, but this is probably the best we can do, and I also will support what is now called Draft C.
But we appreciate the optimism of the requester's counsel to suggest that there's more we agree on. Is there anything further on this? Commissioner McGann.
I just want to thank you, Madam Chair. Associate myself with the comments of Commissioner Peterson on this. I just want to make a broader point. Really, is what was my first reaction to the AO, which is a lot of this is asking, can they actually do things that to me seem wholly independent of actually dealing with candidates? And for me, when it came in, I thought, gee, Post Citizens United, this is a whole different framework. But we still have statute on the books, I suppose, in part, and then we still have regs. So we're trying to shoehorn this question into what I think is a changing world. You know, for example, I can support the consensus draft, but for example, you know, footnote 7 talks about the 4-hour per month safe harbor for use of corporate facilities. maybe for reporting purposes that's going to matter, but you know, in the big picture, it's not like they're prohibited from doing things anymore. So a lot of this is, seems to me, of vestiges of yesteryear, but to try to get a workable AO, we have to still deal with the framework as it exists, at least as it exists in the minutiae of whether something's a whether someone's connected or who can pay for what. It's not an easy question. These tend to be very long and drawn out AOs, and there's a number of them going back since the commission opened its doors, and this is the first one I think that's going to going forward raises some questions that I think we're going to have to deal with in a much bigger way. But I want to throw that out there just to give some guidance and let the requester know where I am, that I can vote for the consensus draft, but as with most things, I could just answer yes and then go home. So.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree. A lot has changed. How much has changed in the area of corporate facilitation is obviously an area on which different commissioners may hold different views, and would be a great topic for rulemaking. But I think, you know, fundamentally it goes to whether it's coordinated and therefore potentially an in-kind contribution as opposed to completely independent activity, which might lead to a different result.
Vice Chair Hunter.
Move approval of agenda document 11-57.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Thank you, Council.